The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yeah, that was a fun game. You know, for years, black quarterbacks... Oh, he's getting racial right away. That's right. Black quarterbacks were not, you know, were told to play other positions. Warren Moon had to go to Canada. He could lead the nation in passing. No one cared. Or at least white people who were in charge didn't care. And then for years, we heard that to be a multidimensional quarterback was a bad thing. And, you know, you can make a correlation, a strong positive correlation, that there were a lot of black quarterbacks that were multidimensional, who could throw and run. And it was a kind of stereotype, a pernicious stereotype, that they didn't have other abilities, like mental faculties, to be able to really, and leadership qualities to lead a team, right? But then there were kind of, they're not stereotypes, but there's kind of softer messaging in there. And you don't want to run for a first down because, obviously there were also white quarterbacks who could run, but you don't want to run for a first down because if you ran for a first down, you know, then yeah, sure, you could get the first down right then, but you never really developed that pocket awareness, that pocket presence. And it's kind of like your short-term incentive to pick up the first down interfered with your long-term development as a quarterback. So if you were a quarterback, a multidimensional quarterback, don't use all those dimensions. And by the way, I bought into the orthodoxy in a way, in the sense that I thought, yeah, there might be something to that. That it did seem that quarterbacks who were thinking run first didn't fare very well compared to the 6'5" pocket quarterback who hung in there and, you know, delivered the ball down the field. But of course, part of me always thought, wait a minute, hold on. Why wouldn't you want to do both? Like, I watched Steve Young play. That looked pretty good to me. So anyway, last night I'm watching Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, two sport athletes, like, you know, both were drafted to play Major League Baseball. But by the way, Kyler Murray in the top 10 by the Oakland Athletics. At any rate, both guys under 6 feet tall. And both African-American quarterbacks. And, well, that game was contested on a very high level, and it was a lot of fun. Kyler Murray did not have, by the way, it's not like that's the first time it's happened, but especially given the backdrop, in the last several years in our country, that did not escape my attention. And Kyler Murray didn't have his, you know, typically excellent game of late. And that's a lot to do with the fact that the Seattle defense came through. Jamal Adams has played a little bit now. My cell phone is interfering with the signal. Is that what you're going to tell me? Chris is producing today. This is a big day for you, Chris. Raj is taking vacation, and Chris is producing. And Chris, have you had fantasies about replacing Raj on this show as producer? You're going to do such a good job that we're going to forget all about Raj?
I'm just wondering if I could get a headshot like him. I don't have a headshot like him, so I can't compare.
No headshot. Yeah, that's true. Raj put a glamour shot on this show. That's right. Anyway, so Seattle really came. Like, Jamal Adams is playing, and Carlos Dunlap, look, they make a trade with the Bengals to bring in a real defender, right, who gets paid a lot of money but is unhappy where he is, and he makes a play. He makes a play that really seals the win. Not to mention the Seattle Seahawks got at least half their running game back. Their offensive line has not been the issue it's been, you know, like 3 and 4 years ago, when they made that trade for Jimmy Graham, however many years ago that was, and their kind of pass protection and run blocking fell apart. But they've been getting offensive line play, but they don't have anyone to run the ball. Carlos Hyde comes back. The defender you brought in to make a play makes a play. You can be more aggressive defensive calls with Jamal Adams, and that happens. And Russell Wilson, with his back a little bit to the wall, I liked against Kyler Murray in that matchup anyway. But how much fun was that to watch? I don't know. It's not like it was the most crisply contested game. And my my favorite game of the season was the Patriots and Seattle in week two. I thought that was a really well-played game and a lot of fun to watch. This was not as well-played. Look, it's a Thursday game. It's a short week. But, you know, I was thinking, like, boy, stereotypes and a power structure that didn't want things to change and institutional racism, right? Boy, they prevented the NFL from having a better product much sooner. And that, by the way, that goes for, I'm really not trying to, like, shoehorn race into, you know, it just, this occurred to me as I sat down and started talking to you. Anytime you exclude a group, you are at a competitive disadvantage, whether that's the kind of product you're peddling, the quality of it, or how competitive you'll be, you know, in a league or whatever. If you exclude an entire group, the pool of applicants for the job you need filled is necessarily smaller, and so you're going to find inferior applicants than if you include as many potential applicants as possible. It's, you know, that's the way it works. Anyway, you know, I really didn't plan on getting racial off the top of the show, but it did occur to me, and it's important on radio, I always find, to be honest about what you're thinking about. I was thinking, like, what a fun game. How many years, the NFL's had a great product for forever. But you know, it's better and better to watch, and that has coincided with the kind of crumbling of stereotypes and glass ceilings, by the way. And this just, by the way, it just happened in baseball too. First female GM and Asian American GM, which is surprising to me. I didn't realize that, but it's true. Miami, Derek Jeter hires the first female GM in the history of baseball. Think that's a competitive advantage for the Marlins? It is. I know it is. You know why? Because if she's the first female GM, that means of every woman who's ever worked in baseball, you got to take not only like an all-star, but you probably plucked the MVP of that entire group. It's like what Branch Rickey did with the Dodgers in the 40s. He took Jackie Robinson, then Roy Campanella, Don Newcomb. You might as well just pluck an all-star team from the Negro Leagues if no one else is going to do it, right? But, okay, I'm going to leave the social stuff aside for a second because I didn't even mean to get this deep into it, but I was thinking about it. It was a great win for Seattle. It was a great win for Seattle because the NFC West, everyone acknowledges, is the best team in best division in football. And it's the best division by quite a bit. It's not like it's by a little bit. There's no soft touch in the division. In fact, the defending NFC champions, right, they made it to the Super Bowl last year, and they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And if not for the best quarterback I've ever seen, with the most weapons around him you can imagine, if not for him calling his own number, dropping back 15 steps and throwing a 60-yard pass, if not for that, the Niners would be defending Super Bowl champs and the worst team in the division. Of course, it's because Garoppolo's hurt. With Garoppolo healthy, who knows what the Niners could have done. But, like, you look at the division, who was supposed to be the worst team in the division, and I thought they'd be pretty good, was Arizona. And Arizona's been in second place, at least, in the NFC West for a long time now. But where's the soft touch? No easy games. A monster division. And Seattle took a commanding lead in that division early because they just didn't lose. Because Russell Wilson was winning shootout after shootout. Although I will point out that when they had that close game in week two against the Patriots, it was Bobby Wagner, an elite defender. However he's played this year. But generally an elite defender. Not just like, oh, he's a Pro Bowl player. No, that's an all-pro type player making a play on the goal line, right? Like, that's actually how Seattle One in against the Patriots, against Cam Newton. But otherwise, they didn't have the worst schedule early, but they were undefeated for a while. Russell Wilson winning shootout after shootout. But, you know, over time, if you lose Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson, and this is before you got Dunlap, before you brought in a guy who could make a play, you know, and Jamal Adams is hurt. Yeah, it's not going to be the same, especially in a division with this. You know, once the Cardinals traded for DeAndre Hopkins, it was going to be tough. So anyway, Seattle, after that commanding lead, it's chipped away. It's chipped away. Here come the Rams. Oh, my God, look at that defense. And you know, it's not simply McVay with a parlor trick in his first season. Then the league catches up. He doesn't have an answer. No, he has an answer. He readjusts. The offense looks better. Here comes Arizona with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. And look, Cliff Kingsbury actually is a good coach, it turns out. And the Niners, okay, they don't have Garoppolo, but it's, you know, it's still a tough out. And Seattle's lead is chipped away. All of a sudden, they're looking around. They look vulnerable. Not a lot of people like them to come out of the NFC. They needed this game, and they got it. It was their best performance all around of the season, except for maybe the Patriots game. Let's not forget, the Patriots are coming off a two-score win against Miami. And then right after that, they beat the Raiders by more than two scores. So that was a good Patriots team that Seattle beat. It's either week two or this game against Arizona. Those are their two best, most well-rounded performances of the season. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds, if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Titans and Ravens.
Oh, we're into the NFL whip around already. See, Chris, you got to say, okay, it's time for NFL whip around. See what I mean?
Time for NFL whip around. You got 60 seconds. I'm trying to give you as much time as possible. The clock's going to start right now.
All right. So now you got to announce the game.
First matchup, okay. Titans at
Titans
Ravens.
And Ravens.
Raj is resting easy today. He's turned on the radio, Chris, and he's thought, okay, great. He's going to take vacation next week, too. Titans at Ravens. Ravens going to win this game, and the Ravens are going to win it because they're more desperate. They don't want to go on a losing streak. They very, very rarely lose to a team that's not the Kansas City Chiefs or not in the playoffs, right? Now, they lost to the Titans in the playoffs last year, but that was the playoff game, I think, as much as it being, you know, the Titans. My head tells me that Tennessee is playing better right now and is a more well-rounded team right now. But I'm going to take the Ravens because I think, much like in this Seattle game, I think their back is up against the wall. And I think they'll play a little more desperately. And for that reason, I like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
All right, here comes your next matchup.
Packers at Colts.
I like the Packers here. The Colts are a good team. Minus a quarterback. Phillip Rivers, Phillip Rivers was a guy I really thought was going to win a Super Bowl. I thought Eli won two and Roethlisberger won two, and Rivers going to get at least one. You know, those three guys came out in the same draft class. And so in my mind, at least they're connected, especially Rivers and Eli were technically traded for each other, Rivers and stuff for Eli. And Rivers put up great numbers with Norv Turner in San Diego But he couldn't win the big one, never won a Super Bowl. And I thought a couple years ago he had his best chance, and he goes to Foxborough, looks like a deer in headlights. And I kind of soured on with Rivers after that. I felt like maybe it's not coincidence that he hadn't won a Super Bowl or just bad luck. And at this point, also, he's very old. Like, Eli's gone. Roethlisberger is looking good, but he's coming off a catastrophic injury, which also gave him a year's rest. Rivers has outplayed my expectations of him, but still I don't think good enough to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Next matchup.
Cowboys and Vikings.
You know, I got to say something. Mike McCarthy has the Cowboys. I was sure he was the wrong coach for the job, mainly because Jerry Jones wanted him for the job. He knew he could push him around. No one was banging down Mike McCarthy's door. And when he claimed, oh, now I know about analytics. No, he doesn't. They're trying to spin it for the press and for the fans. And they didn't look good early. But I got to tell you, considering he hasn't had his quarterback or his backup quarterback, I feel like he's had the Cowboys ready to play, to tell you the truth. I felt like they were ready to play against the Eagles early. Against the Steelers, they were like, they're just at a talent deficit at the most important position right now. But they've been playing well. That said, the Vikings have more than the Cowboys right now, and they've shown the ability actually to beat good teams this year. And I expect the Vikings to win.
Next matchup.
Lions at Panthers.
Oh, who cares? Am I really going to talk about the Lions and Panthers? All right, fine. I think the Panthers are, though their defense has trended in the wrong direction, I look at the Panthers the way sometimes I look at the Broncos in other years. Even when the Broncos have bad record, usually I think if you went to Denver and beat them, I consider that a quality win. Even in a down year for Denver, I think at least a quasi-quality win. That's how I see the Panthers now. I see if you beat the Panthers, even though they're not very good, it's still a quality win. They're not an easy, as I mentioned before, an easy out exactly. And I like them to beat Detroit because they're at home.
Next matchup.
Eagles at Browns.
Carson Wentz. Look, Carson Wentz may be better than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is a starting quarterback. Maybe not a franchise quarterback, but a starting quarterback. And Carson Wentz has shown the ability to be in the MVP conversation, right? But he has regressed shockingly. And when you look around these two teams, on both sides of the ball, the Browns are better, and the Browns are at home. I like Cleveland.
Next matchup.
Falcons at Saints.
Boy, if there's a time for the Falcons to get a win against the Saints, it would be right now. And the Taysom Hill story, we're going to get into it. That's a big story. You know, Sean Payton came on First Take before the Super Bowl when we were down in Miami, and he was talking about Taysom Hill, and I had no reason to doubt him. I thought, what is, you know, sometimes teams want to front, like they're going to do one thing to psych other teams out, you know, and to because they actually are working on a trade or they want to, you know, have them prepare for the wrong guy. I couldn't figure out what the hell he was doing trying to trick me about Taysom Hill, so I believed him. And I also, you know, everyone, you have your little pet players, your favorite players. Taysom Hill is one of mine. When I watch him, I think, why isn't he the best player in football? Like, you know, I mentioned it today, like Walter Payton, a lot of people think, is the greatest football player of all time, not just as a running back, but a football player. You watch Odell Beckham Jr., throw with his left hand a spiral 50 yards. You're like, oh my God, this guy could do everything. Taysom Hill's kind of one of those guys, except that he doesn't do any one thing that, you know, in such a great way that it makes him great at that position. He can just do everything you want a football player to do. So when they were going to start Jameis, it looked like, I thought he must not be able to read defenses. But this tells me Sean Payton thinks he can. And of course, he's been in the offense for years. He knows it better than Jameis Winston. I'm still expecting the Saints to beat the Falcons.
All right, two left.
Dolphins at Broncos.
As I said, I think if you beat the Broncos, particularly at Denver, that's a quality win. The Dolphins have not lost in a month and a half now. So if they were going to lose, I think this is the kind of game they lose. But I'm picking them to win it. I don't think Tua is doing it with smoke and mirrors. I know he's riding the defense. Guys, he's a rookie quarterback. He's coming off of hip surgery. And he has a bad foot now. And all he's done is survived the Rams defense. Didn't try and do too much. You know, some young quarterbacks would get up, try and overcompensate. He didn't. He just played game manager, threw a nice strike for a touchdown, and otherwise game managed, and they won. And then since then, he's averaging about 200 yards with two touchdowns, no interceptions. But by the way, which two quarterbacks did he face off against? Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert. After watching those games, did you get the sense that the other guy was better than Tua? I didn't. I'd rather have Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert than Tua, but I can't say he was like badly outplayed by either guy. I like Miami. I think Miami's live. They're my Super Bowl sleeper. I mean sleeper. I don't mean they're one of my top two or three picks, But if you want to take an actual sleeper that people are not thinking can win a Super Bowl or get there right now, Miami would be mine, and I like them to win a tough game in Denver.
And we're going to finish with Sunday night's matchup.
Well,
Chiefs and Raiders.
Raiders already beaten the Chiefs once. And when you think about how that happened, remember Casey Joyner, the football scientist, on this show, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern, came out and said, look, other teams want the Chiefs in a shootout. Chiefs want to avoid it. What? Patrick Mahomes burst on the scene 2018, won shootout after shootout after shootout to start the year. Casey said, no, 2019 and so far this year, he has a 500 record in those games, over 500, but not much. And he's almost undefeated in all other kinds of games. So why is that? Right? Like, it doesn't the inferior team want fewer points to be scored in a game so that any one score could wildly swing the outcome, you know? One score all of a sudden, like, oh my God, they got a little lucky. They got a call. They made a play, and they beat the Chiefs. No. You want to keep throwing the ball down the field because in the modern NFL, good things can happen. All the rules favor that kind of play. And that actually gives the less talented team the best chance to win. But guys, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that they started out with the outside receivers with speed beating the Chiefs defense and Derek Carr playing well and hooking up with those guys down the field. It was that, and the offensive line playing well, really well actually. It was that in the second half, Gruden starts to run the ball, right? And chew clock. It was really, I thought, a great performance by John Gruden. I don't think the Raiders will do it again, but I'll say this. If they do it again, I still have the Chiefs as my number one team, and I believe they'll wind up the season 14-2 with two losses to a divisional rival. It might be one of those things. Flyweight champions go to war at UFC 255 tomorrow night, and it's exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. So was I wrong about Taysom Hill? Or does this mean I was right about Taysom Hill?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What do you mean join us? It's just me sitting here. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So, Myles Garrett's on the COVID-19 reserve list. So, I did not mention that when I picked the Browns to beat the Eagles. And given that their best player is on COVID reserve, I'm still picking the Browns to beat the Eagles. Eagles are terrible. According to Adam Schefter, Taysom Hill will start Sunday versus the Falcons. He took starters reps at practice this week. Jameis Winston will be the backup. I think everyone, like, oh my God, this is the end of Jameis Winston's career. Why? Jameis just got there. He's just learning. I know he's the former number one overall pick, but he was a bust. Like, he wasn't not a bust. He was a bust. Both number one and number two that year were busts. Right? You had two guys. People had high hopes for them. Neither's with the original team because they underperformed, period. Anyway, Taysom Hill, before the season started, during the Super Bowl last year, Sean Payton was telling me and Stephen A. and Molly in Miami at on our Super Bowl show, Taysom Hill is going to be the quarterback of the future. Now, Stephen A. was making a big deal today on First Take about the fact that he's 30 years old. He's only thrown a handful of passes. Why do you think that is? Why do I think that is? Because Drew Brees is 40 years old. If you have Drew Brees, how many passes do you? What about last year? They had Teddy Bridgewater. Oh, so Bridgewater is for them is better than Jameis is now. Yes, that's right. Bridgewater's better than Jameis. That's right. Bridgewater's been slept on. Bridgewater was a nice game-managing type of quarterback with the Vikings, and the question is, is he just a starter, or might he develop into a franchise player? Then he got hurt. Then he came back, and wherever he's been, he's played pretty well. Maybe not like a franchise quarterback, but like a starter. Jameis is coming off the season where, yeah, he led the league in passing yards and threw for 33 touchdowns, that's because he had Bruce Arians as a head coach, weapons everywhere he looked, and, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, right? So he got some biscuits. But he threw 30 interceptions, 112 points to the other team. And meantime, Taysom Hill knows the offense. I don't know, I watch Taysom Hill, I go, why isn't this guy the best player in football? I'm telling you, in certain ways, when you talk about who the best player in football is, or no, not who the best player in football is, not who the most valuable player in football is, but who's the best football player, right? Football is a highly specialized sport. Basketball, you should be able to do some of everything. In football, really, you know, a quarterback has a very different skill set and talents than a receiver, than a running back, etc. Now, a lot of these guys are just great athletes, so they can switch positions and still be effective, but they got to learn the new position. You know, like, when I think about who's the best at everything, Odell Beckham, as I said, can throw a spiral 50 yards with his left hand. He could kick field goals. I saw him in batting practice. I saw it on TV. Hit a bunch of home runs in batting practice, right? This dude is just an absurd athlete. But Odell does have one gift that is so high-pitched that he's not just a gadget player. He's a great receiver. He can make plays on a ball. It's ridiculous, right? Taysom Hill is like that kind of player. Taysom Hill is very fast. Taysom Hill is like a 4.4 40. He's strong and tough, like rugged. He can catch the ball, and he can throw the ball. But can he read defenses quickly? Can he process information quickly? I thought, maybe not. And he doesn't have, like, the most beautiful arm of all time, but he can throw the ball. He must not be able to read defenses quickly. It takes a lot mentally to play the quarterback position. Maybe Taysom Hill doesn't have it. No, listen, Sean Payton swore he did. And I was like, yeah, right, then why is it about to start Jameis? He's not about to start Jameis. He wasn't lying about Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill was their plan for the future. That's why they let Bridgewater go. Because Taysom Hill is the succession plan from Drew Brees. It's Taysom Hill. I don't know why everyone's so shocked about it. To me, it just shows, oh, look at this. Sean Payton wasn't lying to me. That's what Mike Greenberg had to say about it. Of course, you can hear Greeny right before me here on ESPN Radio every day, 12 p.m. Eastern, noon Eastern. He takes you up to 2, and I take you from 2 to 4 Eastern. Here's Greeny on what this means for Jameis.
Every bit as much as it is a sign of their confidence in Taysom Hill, it is absolutely a devastating blow to Jameis Winston. I don't see any other way to look at it. Jameis Winston went to New Orleans in part because this was the perfect place to resurrect his career. Teddy Bridgewater got the ball 5 times last year when Brees got hurt. And Teddy Bridgewater is the starting quarterback in Carolina right now. Those two things are not a coincidence. Those two things are a cause and effect. Jameis Winston is in New Orleans so he could prove to the world, he could learn behind Drew and he could learn from Sean Payton. And when he got his chance, he could prove to the world that he can be someone other than the guy who turned the ball over 42 times last year.
See,
and to me, this decision this week is Sean Payton saying at least a little bit, I don't see it.
This is why I like working with a nice, even-keeled, reasonable person like Stephen A. instead of a hot take artist like Mike Greenberg. Look at that outrageous take by Greenberg. Is he out of his mind? No, I mean, it's a reasonable take, of course. Yeah, right. Jameis at practice isn't showing them enough to start over Taysom Hill. My point is not that it's not devastating to Jameis, but it's not necessarily devastating to Jameis. Jameis is a backup, but they didn't bring him in to be Drew Brees' successor. If you believe the coach, they already have Drew Brees' successor. Well, why don't you use him as the backup? That's a good question. It's a good question. Why isn't Taysom Hill simply the backup? Is it because, as a gadget player, he plays enough that there's an injury risk? You know, is it because, hey, you have a chance to have Jameis Winston as your number 3 quarterback on the depth chart, former number 1 overall pick, did throw 33 touchdowns to lead the league in passing yards last year. Not a bad thing to have. But I don't think it's necessarily devastating for Jameis. Taysom Hill also knows this offense inside and out, you would imagine by now. And by the way, from every position, from running back, fullback, wideout, quarterback, wildcat, whatever it is, Taysom Hill understands what they're trying to do with this offense. I get it. You know what else? I'm glad Taysom Hill's getting a chance. I want to see it. He's one of my favorite players. I want to see, is it in fact the case that none of his skills are pitched high enough that he can't be a star, he can only ever be a gadget player? I'd like to see him get the chance. I want to see what he can do. I don't care that he's 30 years old. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time is playing in front of him. Drew Brees is 40 years old. Taysom Hill could have gotten there when he was 20 and Drew Brees was 30. He'd be in the same position today.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. We're going to do No Doubt now, okay? All right, No Doubt time. See, Chris, usually what Raj would do is he'd get on the mic and, you know, say something to lead up to No Doubt. It's time for No Doubt.
No Doubt is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, let's go, Chris.
Don't worry. Raj is going to make an appearance on this, No Doubt. Kelly Oubre Jr. is going to help the Warriors make the playoffs.
Nah, son. I mean, the Warriors are going to make the playoffs because there are eight teams in the playoffs, and then there's going to be a play-in game between 9 and 10. You know what it's called when the season's over and you're still playing? It's the postseason. Playoffs, play-in, call it what you want. So 10 out of 15 teams per conference make the playoffs. That's nothing. Kelly Oubre Jr., he's okay. Kelly Oubre's okay. He's nothing special. He's not, maybe at his best season, he's an average starter. But he's not a shooter. Not really. So really what the Warriors need are shooters, and he is not one. I don't think he's going to help them very much.
Gordon Hayward opting out of $34.2 million was a smart move.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Knicks are going to give him that on average for many years. You know, you'll find, listen, he, given the salary cap, Gordon Hayward's not worth that. I like Gordon Hayward. He's a good player. Can be part of a championship team, I believe. Because he doesn't need the ball, and yet he can score. And you can use his passing in almost any lineup. He's just a good player. But he's not a great player. And he wants to be paid like a great player. So it's strictly for teams like the Knicks to show that they can get respectable, that type of thing. But there are enough teams like that there. He's about to get paid.
Robinson Cano has played his last Major League Baseball game.
Nah, son. Nope. If he can get back, someone will give him a look. Like, he'll get into some game at least to see if he can still hit. The question with Cano is, how much was he a creation of the juice? Period, you know? Like, he came up with the Yankees as a nice hitting second baseman, and he eventually turned into a monster. But look at the size of Cano. A strong, to play second base? In my day, that's what a right fielder looked like. You know, like, and Cano, I don't know, like, Cano, if he were clean, would have a shot at the Hall of Fame. But given how many times he's been caught already, I don't think he's going to get in. I think he'll play at least one more Major League game, though.
All right, Jeezy was the clear winner versus Gucci Mane last night.
I didn't see it. I just followed on Twitter. I did not see it. How was it?
I mean, I had it. It was on in the background at work here. It sounded like it was pretty good.
Yeah, all right, I'm sure it was. I did not get to see it, you know. I got two jobs and three kids, so, like, what can I tell you? Didn't see Jeezy versus Gucci Mane last night, but Jeezy has a deeper catalog, so, you know, in a battle situation, you'd expect that to prevail. What else?
Raj will return from vacation with a better headshot, and it's up on TV now.
Nah, son. Not because it would be hard to do, but because Raj is delusional and believes that this really makes him look good. Like, people are finally going to get to see the man behind the curtain. And it's this guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show them. I'm going to look good. I'm going to look good for TV.
he's even got a raised eyebrow.
He's got a that's the cheesiest headshot. The blazer doesn't fit him. I think he has, like, a bracelet on, which you can't see because we have the Max Kellerman Show graphics there. Yeah. So Kyler Murray ran out of miracles. against the Seahawks defense. The Seahawks defense, of all things. Coming up, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, the podcast.